Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. It's a very special Friday. Actually, you know, it's not, because we're going to be doing Friday shows all month long, the entire month. I'm telling you, they got me working, man. My nose is to the grindstone. Five shows a week for the entire month. But I'm very, very excited because I get to see a lot of cool movies and talk to some really cool people, including today's guest. He's returning to the show. Filmmaker Keith Sutliff. Keith, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good, good. One of my, you know, it's funny. Whenever I, especially young people here in South Florida, they'll say, you know how it is with any, no matter where you live, you could live at Disneyland, I think, and somebody would say, oh, well, I got to move out of here. I always use you as an example. I'm like, well, I know a cat who lived in Florida, and he's living in Hollywood now,
right,
and, you know, making movies and living the life,
yeah,
and everything. It can
happen.
Yeah, so
man,
you have a new film. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. I was saying you have a new film, which is very, very cool. One of the things I like about you, Keith, is, well, a couple of things, but you make very interesting films. And they're usually kind of in the thriller, kind of crime world, which is a big one to me. I am a big fan of that. I love those types of movies, type of movies you make. And the new movie is The Refuge. Tell us a little bit. Now, it's interesting on this because you, I guess, Keith, you didn't want to write anybody a check or something. I mean, you produce it, direct it, wrote it, and act in it. You're
right.
All hands on board, right?
Well, you got to go all in, man. It's you know, I tell people it's like doing a film with so much work and time. It's like it takes a lot out of your life just in general. So I mean, like for me, when I do a film, a feature, I go all in, man. And yeah, I act in it as a lead usually, or one of the strong supporting characters. And I totally devote myself to it. So. And plus, yeah, I have paying other people. I save a lot of money by doing a lot of the roles and stuff myself, a lot of the parts. So, yeah, man, it's worked out better for me. It's like if I'm going to take time out of my life to do something, you know, for a year and a half, 2 years, it's like I want to play, you know, in the film. I want
right.
to, you know, like you said, all hands on. So, yeah.
Well, and, you know, as a director, too, it's, you know, other people say, oh, these damn producers, you know, I just need one more day and this much money to do that. Well, that conversation is with you and you in this instance. Got to make it happen,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
You don't waste
man.
A lot
yeah,
of time with arguments like that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine, dude. Yeah. It's I mean, you're working with, like, a lot of other producers, that can be very frustrating because of the coordination and stuff and getting approval by all these other people to do, you know, this is at the independent level. So, you know.
Right. Well, still a big deal, though, you know, and people don't realize, I think one of the things about independent film that people not in the business probably don't realize is I always kind of imagine this as drummers in bands that I know. All the independent bands I know, they'll have a drummer who's in like 16 different bands. So he's always working. But the problem happens is when you try to go on tour, because they all try to go on tour at the same time. And independent films kind of like that, because you're using independent actors and they might be working on several things, and you got to organize that. And you only got this location for this time. You know what I mean? And I don't know how you do it. I guess a lot of Alka-Seltzer is involved.
Jack Daniel's coffee, all that stuff, man.
Well, the interesting thing about the refuge, I don't want to give too much away because, and I want to let people know it's very exciting. Today, it's out. It's on Venmo today and Amazon and all the cool streaming locations and whatnot. Today's the big day. This is a cool film. How did you – it's the gist of, folks, it's about a getaway driver, a guy who's an expert in, when you do a job, getting you the hell out of there with the loop.
Right.
Very important.
Oh, okay.
Very important if you're in that line of work. How did you come up with this idea for this film?
Yeah, I've always wanted to do a movie about a getaway driver and also play a role in a film about a getaway driver. I never thought that anyone would give me the opportunity myself, so I wrote this thing and just did it myself.
I love it.
But the film is pretty, there's not a lot of dialogue in the movie. My first feature is a lot more dialogue. This one's a lot less dialogue. It's kind of like I compared to almost like a 2001 Space Odyssey. Not the same type of film. I mean, as far as look at that movie, the 30 minutes of that movie, there's no dialogue, just all music. This film is very, it's similar sense of, it's a very music driven film. Actions carried out on screen is what I tell people. So there's things happening on screen, but it's very music driven. I did it on purpose, and it shows a lot of, which hasn't been done in a getaway driver movie, is it shows a lot of behind the scenes of, prepping and planning for this getaway driver, his jobs he does, and what he does to prep for them, and timing these routes, and, all the mapping out things, and mapping out the routes and stuff, and it shows a lot of the prep work behind it, so it's very cerebral. It's not an action movie. It's not a car chase movie. They're looking for that. I don't want to disappoint them because that's not what this is. It's a thriller, cerebral type of movie, character movie about this driver who's prepping all these maps out and stuff for this jobs. That's essentially what the film is.
And he's a loner too. He's not a. I think one of the things that I got from this was that. Some movies, especially crime movies, will almost glamorize that lifestyle. You know what I mean? That character. And your movie kind of shows that it's not a lot of fun and partying and games and whatnot. It's serious business, And his lifestyle doesn't afford him a lot of interpersonal relationships and whatnot.
Yes, absolutely. Correct.
Very isolated. Very isolated in so much of, where I think some people have jobs like that or lifestyles like that. And that's got to be wearing. I couldn't handle something like that personally. I need to be social and whatnot. But he does all right with it. The friends he does have. Pardon me?
Yes, no, you're right. The character's very solitary. Not throughout the movie, there's not a lot of, he's by himself a lot, basically.
Yeah, and the people that he does come in contact with have kind of issues going on.
No, definitely.
Yeah, nobody's going fishing or going to the ball game. You know what I mean? World kind of doesn't give to that, it doesn't draw on that. Very cool. Now let me ask you, pretty cool car in this film too.
Oh yeah.
Was that a prop or is that a Keith car?
No, that's definitely a handpicked car that we decided as a team, me and the crew, and also when I wrote the script, what we wanted to put in the film. Originally, it was a Dodge Challenger is what the script had. I changed it to a Dodge Charger because the Dodge Charger is a four-door, and it's bigger. So it's easier
to get in and out.
There you go, 100%. That's why we changed it. So And it works just as good. But yeah, it's a black Dodge Charger, man. It fits the character just pretty. The car's almost like its own character with the sound of the engine and stuff. And if you see it in theaters, when it was in theaters, you'll see. But even watching on, you know, on Vimeo On Demand and stuff, you can see in Amazon. Yeah, it's the sound of the engine and just the way the car is its own character, basically. That's what it's kind of supposed to be, you know, in the film.
Yeah, absolutely. It's his, if he was a Lone Ranger, it would be his silver. You know what I mean? It was, it's definitely, is, well, you know, we talk about him being solitary. I guess he does have that relationship with the car. You know what I mean? It's, there you go.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all-natural, organic, gluten-free skincare. Hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
But I think a lot of people do. Now, are you a car guy, Keith? Like,
not really, man. Not really. But
it
I mean,
just gets
like
you to where you need
something.
To be. And
yeah,
I
drive. I don't have like a sports car or anything, but yeah, no, I like, you know, I do like Corvettes and I like Dodge. Challengers and Chargers are cool, you know, and I think that vehicle just fit the film perfectly as far as for a getaway car, so that's what we went with, you know.
Absolutely. I'm not a car guy. I have friends who are. I tell you, the only big-time relationship I ever had with a car was when I was a kid and I got my first car, because it just, it represented freedom and you know, I could go places. And I did. I drove that car to death. I think I put 160,000 miles on that car in a year. And it wasn't for work or anything. You know, it was just, let's go to Chicago this weekend, you know, just stuff. Being a kid, you know. It's cool. Now, as I said, you kind of do, you like dipping your toe into this kind of underbelly, the crime world is, where do you get your inspiration? Just from like watching the news or other films and books, or how does this come about? Or is it just something you've always been interested in?
No, I mean, I've always loved crime movies. That's, I love Heat, mm-hmm. love Point Break. You know, I love those crime movies. Have always been a passion of mine since I was growing up. You know, I love The Samurai. Like, I'm a huge cinephile when it comes to crime films. So, that's kind of the genre I stick to. That's why I like to write and direct and make. So, and like I said, I've always wanted to do a Gateway Driver movie. That's been on my checklist for a while now. So now I have one in my belt. So,
It's so cool. It's so cool. And so often, you know, it's funny because I'm sure you're like me. We watch these films and you get immersed in that world. And then you'll see like a news story where, you know, it just seems to me that the criminals, the real life criminals that you see, you come across and on the news and whatnot, just aren't as cool as the ones in the movie. And they're not as smart. They're usually pretty dumb.
Right.
You know, you're like, why didn't you spend 2 months mapping out every possible escape route and have, you know, not plan B, but plan G in place, you know?
Most criminals.
Maybe we don't hear about those criminals. Maybe there are criminals like that we just don't, you know, because they're good at it. The ones we hear about are dumb.
Well,
this is cool, man. Now, your last movie, which was kind of neat, if memory serves, it was you did some unique filming that was almost Tarantino-esque as far as Pulp Fiction. It kind of reminded me of that. Different points of view and angles and whatnot. This film also, I don't think in the same way, right, but you did do some kind of interesting storytelling with this film. Am I right in that?
Yes, no, definitely. Like the way we shot it and stuff, there's a lot of oblique shots and stuff in the car, in the back seat, and also then there's, you know, a lot of side profile stuff from like a low angle. So, we definitely mixed it up with some cool shots with kind of my DP.
That's cool, man. That is cool. I like how you do that, Keith, because you always throw a little art in there. You know, it's annoyingly highbrow, but it's not just your basic film that you watch. You're like, okay, well, I've seen this 80,000 times. You know what I mean? It's always a little spin on that I think is very classy and just cool. You know, makes it interesting. I think it was about a week or so ago, might have been a couple weeks, I got an email, an invitation to the big red carpet premiere. I apologize I couldn't attend, 3,000 miles away, but and I don't have a good car like that that'd be a long drive. But how'd it go, man? How'd the party go?
How was the reaction? I think, you know, everyone said they liked the movie, at least after they told me. If they're lying, I don't know if they're telling the truth, but either way, I guess, great. They all said they liked it, so everyone was telling me that they liked it a lot, and afterwards what they liked about it and stuff, so I didn't get any negative feedback from it, so at least from the people who were there, so, you know, I hope they're telling the truth, but either way, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, everyone enjoyed it.
I saw a lot of buzz on my social media. My Facebook was filled up with it, pictures and stuff, and people, you know, talking about it and this and that. So that's a cool thing, you know.
Well, no, it was cool. You know, I haven't seen any theaters yet until that opening night. So it was cool even for me and even for the cast and crew, because the thing is, for this film, we tried to, what I was trying to do with it was, you know, we shot it in a sense of, there's a lot of shots in the back seat, or there's a lot of shots in the back seat of the car from that back seat view, behind the driver, and we tried to create a sensation that the audience is with this getaway driver doing these jobs at night around LA and stuff. So when you see the film, even on your laptop, or whatever you're watching on for streaming, you want to put that, you know, the audience in that backseat to feel like they are in this car with this driver doing these jobs around town. So it's almost kind of like the Back to the Future ride from Universal when it was around, or like the Transformers
nice.
Ride, where you're inside that car thing, you know, going around like in the ride. So it's kind of like a ride through LA basically with this driver. So that's what we try to create with the music and the sound design, all that stuff, and get a shot view of that from the back seat. So that's kind of what we were going for.
That's awesome.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Now, in addition to this, you mentioned that the film, the music plays such an important part. You also, there's a soundtrack that's released, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's on iTunes,
oh,
on Amazon.
Look at that.
Yep, that's by Federico Vaona. Nice,
man. I'm telling you, Keith does not mess around. Also, in addition to that, Keith, I don't know how this business works. You know me. I'm a painter. I my friends are in the movie business. I have friends in the movie business, but I'm not in there down in the trenches like you are. You know what I mean? So I excuse my ignorance on some of this, but something I never really thought about too much. The filmmakers I come in contact with, the majority of them are independent film based, and you never see, and I just never even gave it any thought, to be honest with you, you never see a rating on a film. You know, where we have films on, and it's not even mentioned. It's not even brought up. You know, it isn't even, this film has not been rated. I've seen that in magazines and whatnot. Your film, it's rated R.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, I imagine they don't just, you know, call you up and say, hey, we're going to rate your film or whatnot. That's a process, right, to get your film rated?
Oh, it's a huge process, dude. That's a huge, huge process. Yeah, you know, a lot of independent films don't do it. They leave it not rated. You don't have to get the film rated by the MPAA. So the Motion Picture Association of America doesn't want to rate films. Me as an independent filmmaker, I decide to make it rated for a lot of reasons. It adds legitimacy to the film. It's my
right, absolutely.
And it makes it more authentic. So it's like when you see the trailer, you see how rated R in the beginning. So it's like, okay, you know, it's not a bullshit movie. It's not a, you know, it's a real movie, you know, language.
Right. No, you're fine.
Some people won't do it.
Keith,
so.
I never see it, and I saw it on yours, and then I said, and then I thought about it. I'm like, hey, man, everybody needs to start doing this. you know, come on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I imagine that involves some meetings and filling out of forms. And did you have to change anything in your film, or was it they kind of go on how it is, the finished product?
Yeah, they go based on what the content is. They watch, you know, the film. They see, based on the content, what it should be rated, and they give you a rating based off of that, and you accept or decline it. Basically, is how it works. And they put for
gotcha.
Reasons. Like, this one was really low for the language throughout is what they rated it, you know. For that reason.
Well, you have to have language. It's a crime drama, you know? I mean, it wouldn't be realistic if there wasn't, you know? And I just think that was cool, man. I saw that rated R, and I'm like, oh, like you said, I took notice.
Right.
You know, I was like, oh, this is legit. This is the shit.
I was impressed. It has that legitimacy to it, so it's not like, there's so many independent filmmakers, so they don't want to spend the money or whatever to make it, to get it rated by the MPAA, so they, you know, they just leave it non-rated, and it affects the film, in my opinion, in a sense of, like, it doesn't make it as professional. I mean, in a certain sense, I mean, it is a professional product, right, but it's, like, with it rated and stuff, it just makes it that more on the professional level, you know, like a studio movie or anything, really. So I decided to do it. It's a personal decision for me, so we have these billboards coming up for the film, and this month to advertise, and has the Radar logo on there. So if people see it, you know,
nice.
It's not a film, you know.
That's very
that's
true.
Why I do it.
You know, and there's little things. It kind of reminds me in my world of painting and art and whatnot. You know, we'll put paintings on merch. We have different deals and whatnot. But you have to get those paintings licensed, you know, at least in it, how I view it, you do. And I have friends, and they're like, why are you doing that? Why don't you just do this and not like, and I'm like, well, cause you know, we're professional around here. That's why, you know,
that's what you tell them.
We're not doing this half-ass, you know, come on.
Right.
No, I think that was cool. And I think that's a good idea, you know, and you oversee, now I wonder, you're probably a lot like me in that since your name's on it, it's got to be right, right?
Right. Yeah, 100%. That's why I do all these certain things, with, you know.
Yeah.
Editing and all that stuff.
Well, it's very, very cool. And for those who don't realize or don't know, your background, we mentioned you grew up in Florida. Were you always a film guy, Keith? Were you like the kid that was just, man, into movies and stuff?
Yeah, man. You know, that's I when I was growing up as a kid, I mean, I loved films, dude. Like Aliens, Indiana Jones, like so many great movies. You know, me, just growing up, I'd watch this stuff, and I was always inspired to get into film, do something with film directing or acting or something I wanted to get into. But it wasn't really until my mid-20s, about 25, I got the opportunity. I moved out here, and I really pursued it. And I pursued it a little bit in Florida, but not as much, man. It's kind of – the film industry out there is not as big as out here, so –
Something. Right.
No.
No.
So, yeah.
It's not as in your face. You live in Southern California, man. Everybody you meet either doing movies or music. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. That's the industry out there. You know.
Yeah.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC.
With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Florida, I mean, there's some stuff that gets shot here, I think location-driven, but, you know, if you need a beach,
Right.
And not always the best. In our little beach town, our big, man, it was a big deal. Was it about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago? They shot the Baywatch movie here, a bunch of it, not all of it, but a bunch of it, and... oh man, the whole town came out. You know, I imagine it drove them crazy because everybody was down there when they were shooting. Had to block it all off, But in LA, that's like a Tuesday, you know. They're shooting the film down on the street here. When you mapped the location for this film, I mean, there's a lot of great scenes and shots and whatnot around Los Angeles and whatnot. Was that a consideration, like, just being able to shoot in certain places and whatnot?
Yeah, it's definitely. We wanted there's a lot of location. I mean, the film's shot essentially a lot of it outdoors. You're shot all over at late at night, and we can't pick locations. We, you know, shoot the film the best and you know, look great on screen. So it was everything you see in the film is very, you know, carefully chosen as a location,
right?
And there's all the drive routes and stuff too. So, I was definitely, you know, a huge
part of
component. Yeah, it's all over LA. You see so much LA. It's a basic tour of LA, man. You know.
I gotcha. You don't have a giant cast on this, but it's pretty good. You know, it's pretty good size, is what I'm saying. Great actors and whatnot involved in the film and actresses. What did you go through a casting company for this, or are these people you knew in the business, or how did you get everybody attached to the film?
There's 10, I think, including, so there's 10 cast members, I think. Some of the people I already knew from prior relationships from other films I've done, like Matt Wood, Julian Fagardo, they were on Mason Brothers, so I had some of that, some like, I was in my crew as well, but some of the other ones I've known since I've been here, and then a lot of the other, you know, handful. A lot of the other ones, we cast through an audition breakdown through Breakdown Express and LA Casting and all auditions. And then, Renee Swart was an actress I met at a film premiere, actually, for a premiere of Lullaby, where she plays a lead in, which is a really good movie. You should see it. Man, I've never seen a transformation like that from any actor. It was phenomenal. So I was blown away by her performance. And I was like, wow. So I met her after that show and ended up reconnecting later on for this film. I thought she played great for this role. So, I met her at a premiere. And then, Demetrius Steer, I've known him for a few years now. And then, a lot of the other actors I just casted through the audition breakdown.
No, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. I was reading a little bit somewhere. This was a while back about Renee. It surprised me. I don't know why, but the only reason it caught my attention with her is that my father was a industrial engineer. She has a degree in industrial engineering. I read somewhere, and it stuck in my mind. I don't know if a lot of people know that or not. Interesting. And of course, as so many in the business, in the entertainment business, she's doing that absolutely nothing with that degree. I should say that. Let's rack up a bunch of debt and do something totally fun. Keith, I'm looking at you. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing you. He's like, be quiet, Jamie. My mom could be listening to this. He's such a safe thing. What did your folks think about this film as opposed to the Mason Brothers? I mean, I know that you're a kid. They got to love it, right?
People, and of course, family, they're supportive about it. It's totally different from the Mason Brothers. The Mason Brothers essentially was taking place in almost one location, these basically at the shoe cobbler shop at night trying to figure out who, killed their youngest brother and stuff, and a lot of dialogue-driven film. This film's totally different. It's a completely different movie. It's all taking place at night, but it's all driving shot around LA at night or this getaway car. There's a lot of, 50% of the movie's driving around in this car at nighttime, so essentially the locations or the set's constantly moving. You're inside this car driving around LA, and there's not as much dialogue.
Right.
50% less dialogue. So all this dialogue, and it's shot all a lot of it inside of a car at night driving around LA. So you see a lot of LA, and then those are the two main components right there with the differences. So yeah, it's a completely different movie.
That's cool.
I like it.
Now, is both these films shot at night? Is nocturnal filming inherently more difficult than day filming?
It can be. I like night shooting a lot because just shooting outdoors, you never have to worry about the sunlight changing at all because it's all nighttime.
Right.
So that actually is a really good thing in your favor, is not having, for continuity reasons, having to worry about daylight changing, So
absolutely.
It's just, it's harder on the cast and crew, obviously, because you have to stay up all night, so drinking coffee and, so
take
it's not natural to the body, we're
get ready for
naturally
it.
Up during the daytime, not the nighttime. But I like it. There's all this traffic, there's less people to deal with outside if you're shooting outdoors, so, there's a lot of pros to that, I think, actually.
Oh, absolutely. I was talking to a friend of mine who, and he tells the story so much better, but he, because it happened to him, they were filming, he was filming something, and it was in the daytime, it was in L.A., and they knew that there was some people down the road that knew that he was filming, and they were mowing the grass, and they mowed the same patch of grass, for 45 minutes straight, because they were waiting for him to come down and give him $50 to... take a break. You don't have to deal with any of that at night,
Yeah, you don't deal with any of that.
Fantastic.
Much better, I think.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, again, it's out today, ladies and gentlemen, The Refuge, and we have links on our show page, and these links will also follow the podcast. We're on like 160 podcast streaming sites. These links will follow. However you're listening to the podcast in the future, these links will be there. Click on them. We've got therefugefilm.com, which is the main page for The Refuge Film, and we also have a link to their Facebook page. Like and share. Help get the word out, man. Very, very important. And,
yes.
It's out tonight. Summer release, right in time for, you know, the weekend and whatnot. Good movie to watch this weekend. That's what I'm saying. man.
Go see it.
Oh, Keith. You're so inspiring. You know, you're so inspiring. You do these and you do them right. You know what I mean? And I love that. And all the attention to detail, both in the art, in the film, but in the business side of it as well. And you're on it, you know. Very important.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. If you're gonna do it, you gotta do it right. That's where, you know, so I tell people, if you're putting all your energy and time into this thing, you know, just gotta make it the best you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I know, of course, we're focusing on The Refuge and whatnot, but I have to ask the most annoying question of these interviews and whatnot. Anything you can talk about for the next project?
Yeah, definitely. I have a couple things in the works that I want to do next based on the budget I can get for the film. There's a film I've been wanting to do for years now. It's like my blockbuster dream film that I wrote. It's my first script I wrote called Suitcase City. It's basically this city which is run by these gangs, or a gang, main gang, and there's this gang leader who's running the city, and there's this martial arts tournament that's involved, and annual martial arts tournament. Whoever wins this tournament, basically, they constantly wins over the city because this main gang leader always wins the tournament every year. So there's this police force what's left over of a police force called this Alliance, which is trying to regain the city and stuff. And this main leader who ends up entering this tournament and yada yada. But anyway, that's basically what it's about. It takes place in the future. It's a sci-fi action movie.
Cool.
Movie, and that's what I want to do next if I can get the funding for it. If I can't, then I'm thinking about doing either a prequel or a sequel to this film, The Refuge, depending on how well it does. There was another film in mind, but yeah, that's what I'm going for now.
Well, it's interesting the concept of a prequel for The Refuge, you know, because you're absolutely right. The main character in this film, Marcus, I believe his name is. Marcus. What's his story, man? Where is he from?
Right.
What led him to this point?
That's what people have already expressed, hey, what about a sequel or prequel? And I was like, no, I definitely have that in mind. A prequel would show the back history behind this character and also with the Stacy character played by Renee Swart, like how that came about and more about his character, her character, and how he came, this getaway driver and all this stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that can be answered. And also a sequel could work as well, but I think a prequel is probably what I would do first. But yeah, definitely.
Well, definitely interesting idea, and you're the cat to do it, you know, because you make films that are so well done that I'm sure it wouldn't be disjointed, you know what I mean? I think that would be cool. I don't know, yeah, just my two cents, something to think about. Oh, man. Well, very, very cool. I imagine you're going to be watching lots of numbers and whatnot rolling in this weekend and whatnot, and it's going to be a fun weekend, if not an exciting one. You know what I mean? Very cool. Are you glued to the screens this weekend, or you got something else going on? Do you keep your mind off of it by doing something else, or...
It's
like mission control in
your place, right? The last day I've been kind of trying to enjoy myself was with some of the cast members last night. The crew went out to Hollywood, had a few drinks and stuff, and wanted to celebrate again a little more. So No, I'm gonna be hazing a busy day for me. I'll be, you know, doing some promotion stuff and you know, some stuff for
living the Hollywood life.
Different
living the Hollywood life.
That's right, nice. Man. That's right.
There you go. There you go. And just, you know, let your folks know this is just the next step into getting them that infinity pool in Malibu there. So, working hard.
Of course.
Very, very cool. Very cool. What were you going? I can't remember. You had told me before. What was the plan before movies, before getting into film? Didn't you have, were you like involved in baseball or something like that? Or, I can't remember.
No.
It was always
I've always wanted to be involved in film. So that was always ultimate grand plan.
It's cool. Well, you're making it happen, man. You're making it happen. So, you know, it just goes to show. Keep at it, right? That's the advice. You got to follow your dreams. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, those movie ratings don't just happen. you gotta be able to make them.
Well, obviously not, dude.
And renting chargers and, you know, all of that.
Sense, dude.
Fantastic. Well, break a leg on everything, and I can't wait. I want everybody to go out and see it. The Refuge, it's out now. Watch it tonight. I'm telling you, nothing on TV tonight anyway. Just watch that. And if anybody's like me, they've got their phones and laptops and all hooked up to their big screens at home as well. And if you don't, that's the way to do it, man. Get yourself an HDMI cord and watch it big. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. Yep, definitely. Video on demand and Amazon.
Very, very cool. Well, you already know this. I'm going to tell you anyway, in case nobody's told you today. Just keep doing what you're doing, Keith. You're real good at it. You know, very inspiring.
Thanks,
inspires me. Just very inspiring. Very cool. Absolutely. Hey, and thanks for being on the show. We're up against the time. I know I've kept you a little longer than I said. I apologize about that. You're just fascinating to talk to. And hey, man, get making that next movie so we'll have you on again.
Let's do it. Hey, I'm ready. Let me know. I'm ready.
I'm trying to get to a position where I can start, you know, approaching all you filmmakers and say, hey, I want producer credits here. Here's a check. Let's make this happen. I'm working hard.
Oh, man.
It'll happen. Oh. Well, hey, have a great night. And, you know, again, fantastic film. The Refuge. Very, very cool.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And, folks, we will see you tomorrow, special Saturday edition show. I had to move Wednesdays to Saturday, so we'll see you tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock here on the East Coast. And, of course, that's noon out on the West Coast. So we'll see you then. Tune in. Have a great Friday night, everybody. This episode, ladies and gentlemen, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and whatnot. It'll also be pushed out on all the various, as we mentioned before in the show, all the podcasting platforms. We're on like 160 of them right now. It's amazing. The big one is Apple Podcast. You can always listen to the show for free on Apple Podcast. You can subscribe, and then it goes right into your phone or folder. Every time we do a show, it's pretty great. Anyhow, if you are listening to the show in the future on Apple Podcast, you know, do me a quick favor. First off, hello from the past, but do me a quick favor, hit that ratings and review. It keeps us up at the top of the page, and boy, my conversations with advertisers go so much easier when we're at the top of the page. That's the reality. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.